Good morning, everyone. Nice to see you here this morning. Psalmist said in Psalm 113, verses 1 through 3, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same. The Lord's name is to be praised." And that is one of the reasons why we gather here at in our church, to worship the Lord and to give praise to him for who he is. This morning is going to be just slightly different, as we will, at the beginning of the service, after our opening hymn, have a what we're calling a memorial moment for Karen Bryant, who passed away back in last month. There was no funeral for her, and she was cremated shortly after, and her sister Janet and husband and brother have now returned out west back to Alberta, and so we will be videotaping the little memorial that we will have this morning for her, so that they can watch that and have some closure as well. But to begin this morning, let's take our hymn books, turn to number 1, and we're going to sing together, "Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee." Thank you. That's a good start this morning. I wonder, Joe, if you would lead us to the throne of grace this morning.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your kindness and your love to us. Thank you for your support and answers of prayer all this week. And the privilege, Lord, of walking with you. Thank you for being gathered in your name this morning. Pray a blessing on the service, Lord, that your hand would be seen working here. Would be aware that you are teaching us and directing us and turning our hearts to you. Pray a blessed pastor, Father, and give him of thy spirit that you might use him, I pray. And have your will, Lord, in everything that is said and done, that you be pleased in this time. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. We learned along the way that Karen Bryant had two favorite hymns, and we're going to sing them this morning. First one is 186, "The Old Rugged Cross." And you can just stay seated while we sing a couple of verses here, and then we will have a brief memorial, and then close that portion with her other favorite hymn, which is "Amazing Grace," number 202. So 186, we'll sing just the first, third, and fourth verses. Thank you for that. Thank you, Susan. Karen Bryant had been attending Berean Baptist Church for about 3 years or so, somewhere in that neighborhood. We had gotten to know her a little bit, but she was a very private person, and so took some time to really get to know her. What we did get to know about her was her sweet personality, her warm and friendly interactions, and her great desire to honor and obey the Lord Jesus Christ in her life. As we mentioned earlier, her favorite hymns are "The Old Rugged Cross" and "Amazing Grace." She had a desire to be baptized here by immersion. She had trusted the Lord Jesus as her Savior quite a while ago, but never been baptized. So we were trying to plan that, and then she got sick, and then COVID and all that kind of stuff. We never were able to schedule that for her. But we are assured that when she did pass away, she went into the presence of the Lord, just like the thief on the cross, right? He couldn't get baptized either, but he was still saved. We will miss Karen around here, but we know that she is in a far better place today and free from all of the difficulties that she had. And Karen is survived by her brother Doug, her sister Janet, her husband Dell, and her brother Dennis, many nieces and nephews. Her parents passed away some time ago, I think 2001 for her mom, and her dad passed away in 2013. As we mentioned, there was no funeral. She did not want that. Again, part of the private person, I think. Her body was cremated and has been taken back to Saskatchewan for burial in the family plot. Those who did know Karen well, Robert and Linda, are going to come and just share a few words of tribute concerning Karen Bryant. This now, Robert.
Karen was a teacher and a communicator, and it was very interesting. She would text a lot to me. Most of it was a question about the Bible or pain, and because I was able to commiserate with her on that, but she was in a lot of pain. She had this chemo that she was taking, and so she would be here once a month, because when you take chemo, you're done for the week or two, and then you get another chemo and you're done for a week or two, and depends on when she was able to get here. But she really worked at being here all the time, as much as she could. And it was great. As a teacher, she was very curious, and she has donated all of her books here so that we can sort it out and send them to wherever, and we're in the process of doing that. I think there must be about 1,000 of them. But when you're a teacher, you collect books, you learn from them. Maybe you read one page in a book, maybe you read a chapter, maybe you have to read the whole thing. But I loaned her a multitude of books, and they have come back. And she said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot, I highlighted this page." I said, "That's fine, there's no problem with that. That's what books are for." So that was kind of an interesting thing. She even, while she was taking chemo, she was taking a master's course over the internet at York University. And it really made her sad that she wasn't able to continue with that. But with the different kind of chemicals they were putting in her now, they changed it. It was just too much, and she was too weak to even be sitting at a computer, that sort of thing. But I remember several times Nick and I would go over to help fix things. Her fire alarm, her smoke alarm, has a light in it, and it can be connected to other ones. And so we put one in her living room and one in her kitchen, just two sides of one wall. And Nick was very happy to do things like that with her. She thought I was the IT person here, which everybody thinks I am.
Yep.
But the only solution I could find for her get her printer working back when she was studying was to move the printer closer to her computer and plug it in. I could never get the air things going between the computer and with Bluetooth or whatever. Can't do it on my own, and I couldn't do it on hers. So she, like Pastor said, she really wanted to be a member here, and she wanted to be baptized, but every time we got a free day, it just didn't work out. But one day she was able to come, sat about where Rose is. My wife sat about just in the front, turned around, and I was able to do a baptism class with her. And afterwards she said, "I should have stayed longer. Got more and more questions now." She always liked to ask more questions. That was great for a teacher. Let's see. She communicated through text, a sign service where you can push a button on your phone and it rings through to your interpreter. And you can get the interpreter to make phone calls for you just by signing to them. It's really something very good. And on Tuesday, her last Tuesday in the hospital, she came home and she was so happy to be home. But Friday night, she was texting me and saying, I'm in a lot of pain. We've called the hospital. How long is it going to take for that ambulance to get there? And I said, well, they're all parked at the hospital trying to, and we all know that situation. But she would texted me just as it was leaving. She says, it's finally here, and that was it. And then in about the middle of the night, she texted and said, it really hurts. These beds are horrible, and I can attest to that, and I think Joe can attest to that. The beds in emergency are like tin with a little piece of cloth on top. And so I said, yeah, well, just hang on. They'll get you a better one. And then by about 7 in the morning, she had passed away. So great person. My wife's going to come and give you some more of her details. And she's going to sign it to you as well as for Bruce. Linda?
Speak? I'm nervous. It's been a long time since I tried to speak two languages at the same time. So one or the other is going to flop. How I met Karen. For this story, we have to go back to 1998 when our son Daniel turned 12. Bruce, always the funny boy, gave him 12 eggs for his 12th birthday. Okay, so now we come fast forward to 3 years ago at Josie's birthday party for her 85th birthday at Swiss Chalet. We had some family members, and Bruce and Josie's new neighbor, Karen Bryant. We had told Daniel about the party, and so he enlisted us to play a prank. We brought Josie a birthday present from Daniel, 85 eggs. And that was the first time I met Karen Bryant, and I don't know what she thought about us. Becoming friends with Karen was a joy, even though her Saskatchewan accent, we communicated immediately. Did you know sign language has accents? It does. And we bonded, especially because she had a cat. Karen was generous. After she became ill and she knew she couldn't teach again, she wanted my daughter in-law, also a teacher, to have the teaching books. So many books. Karen really was a reader. Karen was shy. She'd come to church and she'd sit back there. Partly it was her eyesight, and partly shyness because her hair, she was losing her hair. Karen was fiercely independent. Robert and I would try to take her out for lunch, and she would always say, I'm paying my way. Okay. Karen was kind. While she was in the hospital, Karen was worried about Josie. She was worried about Robert. And she would always say, "I'll pray for them." Karen loved the Lord. She wanted to learn more and more about Jesus. She wanted books to read. She wanted to be baptized, but her illness prevented her. Karen was my sister in the Lord, and I miss her.
All right, thank you, Robert and Linda. Karen Bryant was born April 16, 1956, in Arcola, Saskatchewan, a little community south and east of Regina. Family farm was close by. I'm not exactly sure what the farm was all about, but it was there. She was promoted to glory December the 17th, 2022, in London, here, as we know. Karen's sister, Janet, we met her for a few Sundays when they were here to take care of Karen's stuff, has written a very detailed tribute to her sister. It's too long to give you it all this morning, so we've printed it, and we'll post it on the bulletin board if you're interested in getting some more of those details. And just a thank you to Janet for doing that for us. I asked for just, you know, a little bit of stuff, and when they were flying home, she said, on the airplane, she had written some notes. Well, there are quite a lot of notes here. I got six pages of, half pages of notes, so I can't give it all to you, but I will give you a few excerpts, and we'll post the whole thing on the bulletin board that you might be able to read it for yourself. Karen was born in, as we said, in Arcola, Saskatchewan, the second oldest of four children after the oldest brother, Doug. And she grew up on a farm approximately 5 kilometers north of Carlisle, Saskatchewan. Doug and Karen were only 17 months apart. 5 years later, sister Janet came along, and then 5 years after that, the youngest little brother, Dennis, was born. Where they lived had a gravel pit leased by the government, apparently, that had hit groundwater and turned into a lovely swimming hole. It was like having your very own swimming pool. And when Karen and Dennis came home in the summer from school, we all enjoyed going down there to swim. That was until Karen came screaming down the lane one day because she had encountered a salamander while she was in the water. It was not so much fun for her after that. Karen loved to care for her dolls and cats. When Janet came along, Karen adored her live little doll. I guess it must have been Janet, the live little doll, to dress up and care for. And when Janet got a little older, they liked to dress up the cats in doll clothes and put them in the carriage and pretend that they were babies. The summer that Janet was turning 7 years old, Karen began teaching her finger spelling and signed exact English. And they had a great time, a great deal of time in their bedroom being teacher and student. Karen and her mom had a close relationship and were very supportive of each other. Dad was quite a man, and he was a busy farmer trying to earn enough to keep his family fed, but he still managed to take time out once in a while to take us for a swim up at the lake or out for a picnic. He loved his kids, though, no matter what. When little brother Dennis came along, Karen doted on him and loved taking care of him. Both Karen and Dennis were born deaf. When Karen was 6 years old, she went to stay at the residence in Saskatchewan School for the Deaf in Saskatoon. And when Dennis was old enough to attend school there, he had a hard time adjusting to life in residence at the deaf school, so Karen watched over him and was always there to support him, being the best big sister she could be. In high school, Karen developed a love for sewing. She won awards for fashion design and had dreams of becoming a wedding dress fashion designer one day. At that time, the only place where she could attend post-secondary education for that was at Gallaudet University in Washington, D.C. Instead, she went to Red River College in Winnipeg, Manitoba, and completed an office administration program. Upon graduation, she got a job with Central Mortgage and Housing in Saskatoon. She got married, followed her husband to Regina and Moose Jaw, where she worked in offices with federal government departments. Work brought them to Calgary, where she got a job with Canadian Hearing Society, teaching ASL and doing outreach work with families of deaf children. Karen had many friends, so when her life came to a fork in the road, i.e. her marriage, they separated, she left Calgary and went to Windsor, Ontario, to stay with friends there. There she met Rod Stuick, who became the love of her life. They both worked at the GM Chrysler plants. Karen's job was on the assembly line doing repetitive work. She developed a wrist injury and could not continue that kind of work anymore. She began upgrading her education so that she could work toward a Bachelor of Arts degree. Tragically, in 1997, Rod, who was an avid snowmobiler, drowned while setting up a track for a snowmobile meet on a lake in Michigan where he was born. Karen felt that she could not continue living in Windsor after that and eventually moved to London to go to Western University, where she obtained a Bachelor of Arts degree with honors. She wanted to be closer to her family out west again, so with the encouragement of her friends in Winnipeg, she moved there and began working on a degree in social work, which she successfully completed as well. The job market was difficult in Winnipeg, and with her hearing impairment, it was not easy to get a job as a social worker. She decided to keep going and get a Bachelor of Education. Since she couldn't be a fashion designer, her next best desire and natural fit for her was to become a teacher. Karen had enjoyed living in London before, so when time came for her to do her teaching practicum, Robarts School for the Deaf was one of the places she applied to for practicum, among others. And she was accepted there, and so she returned to London to complete her practicum and become a certified teacher. She gained employment there afterward and was delighted to be teaching and helping young students overcome their challenges. Sorry. In late 2019, only 2 years after she had been teaching, she began to have some medical problems, which caused her to have to take time off work to focus on her health. She never got the chance to return to work. Karen loved her family and adored all of her nieces and nephews. She had been looking forward to moving to St. Albert to be closer to Janet and her family this past summer, but had to remain in London a bit longer for medical treatment. When she had to have immediate surgery, which resulted in a long recovery. Something happened that she could not fight, and she passed away suddenly in the hospital. Karen was an independent, resilient, strong, determined woman. She didn't let her deafness slow her down or stop her from achieving things that many others do not even attempt. She overcame many obstacles and never gave up. What got in her way only made her stronger and more determined. She was also compassionate, loving, caring, kind, and generous. If someone needed help, she was always there for them and helped them overcome their troubles. She was also a very private person and was cautious about who to trust and who to be friends with. She had begun living a life of faith and trusting in God when Rod passed away. She began to read the Bible, began going to church while she lived in Winnipeg after his death. Her faith became stronger with our mom's passing, and ever since she has been working on becoming one of God's students. She loved going to Springs Church in Winnipeg and was so happy to be able to attend Berean's Church in London, Ontario. She became good friends with many who attended and was finally happy again after many trials and tribulations in her lifetime. She concludes, "Karen was my sister and my closest friend. I've been thinking that when she moved out here, I might retire from work so that she and I could enjoy doing a few things together. Now my friend is gone. Her absence has left a huge hole in my heart. I will miss our video chats and our texts, sharing our lives and supporting each other through life's challenges. I know that she is with God now, and her pain and her suffering are gone. I hope and I pray that with time I will become strong like her, have faith and know God as she has done, so that someday we will enjoy to be sisters once more. I love you, Karen, your sister, Janet. Karen Bryant really endeared herself to us in the short time that she was here. And I thank the Lord that he led her here to Berean by the invitation of Bruce and Josie, Enan, and I'm glad that we got to know her for a little while here on earth. And we do know that we will see her again one day in glory, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Karen's other favorite hymn is Amazing Grace. So let me invite you to take your hymn books again, turn to 202, and we'll sing Amazing Grace. Thank you for that, and trust you will have good remembrances of Karen. Announcements are in the bulletin. Please take some time to review those things that are there. P&D, we have meeting on Tuesday. And don't forget Wednesday prayer meeting, both 10:30 in the morning, 7 o'clock at night. Got some extra chairs in the circle ready for you and to be here at prayer meeting. Love to have you here. Don't think that there's anything else that other than a reminder that the annual meeting's coming up at the last Saturday of this month, so please be aware of that. For members, obviously, but if you're not a member but are interested in the life of Berean, you're welcome to come along. Just won't be able to vote on things, but you're welcome to come and participate in that meeting. I think that's all. We'll ask our men to come forward and wait upon you for our morning tithes and offerings. The offertory this morning is a piano trio. One piano, three people playing one piano. It's the Mylon Hayes kids, Connor, Bailey, and Kennedy. It's a Christmas medley. I know we're still doing Christmas stuff. But they do such a really good job, I thought you might enjoy it this morning. Mr. Emmons, would you return thanks? was quite the triple solo. Not sure how they get all their fingers in there without getting confused. Thank you for that. Let me invite you to take your Bibles now. Turn to Psalm 116 for our message this morning. Thank you, Audrey. Psalm 116. We're going to read through the 19 verses and then zero in on one verse in particular. Psalm 116 says, verse 1, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, even our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. And I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. We'll ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word. This psalm occurs in a group of psalms. Psalms of praise to the Lord for a whole variety of reasons. And although David is not named as the penman of this psalm, his name does appear in Psalm 110, and these other ones follow right after that, and so it would be absolutely within reason to conclude that he wrote this psalm as well, a psalm of David. The key verse in Psalm 116, I would submit to you, is verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. We use this verse often in funerals, particularly in funeral services for Christians. That is, people who have trusted the Lord Jesus as Savior, who are saints before God because of their faith and trust in Christ. This truth from verse 15 is a wonderful tribute to a believer who has passed away. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. A precious truth to the one who has passed away. And it is also a tremendous encouragement to those who have been left behind. Right? To know as we have our faith and trust in him that our death is precious to the Lord. It's also, this verse, a vital witness to the importance of knowing God through faith in Christ for those who are yet lost in their sins. And so this one verse holds tremendous truth, a wealth of truth to all men, to believers and to those who are lost in their sins, as an encouragement to trust Christ as Savior, become a saint, a Christian, and so then their death too would be precious in the sight of the Lord. 13 words in English is verse 15, and only 5 words in Hebrew. 5 words in Hebrew. Yakar Bayin Jehovah Hem Avetha Lakasidi. I butchered the pronunciation, but those are the five Hebrew terms. And the Hebrew is exactly as we have arranged in English. Precious in the sight of Jehovah, or the Lord, all capital letters, is the death of his saints. Here is a divine revelation into the insight of the Lord God Almighty at the death of one of his saints, what he considers it to be. It is precious to him. We tend to suffer the loss of a loved one when they die, and rightly so. I always say we haven't lost them, even though we suffer loss, their loss. We haven't lost them because we know exactly where they are, right? They're with the Lord in glory, those who know him as Savior. But we tend to suffer that loss, but God sees it, the death of a believer, as precious, highly valued, rare. That's what the Hebrew word means, precious. Splendid, weighty, and glorious. Try telling that to some people who fear death and who just can't handle the loss of a loved one, that this is a glorious thing that has happened to the believer. Precious in the eyes, sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And I know that we all know and understand that truth for our loved one in time. There's the immediate sense of loss, but we know exactly what's happened to them from the authority of the Word of God. And we too then count it precious as well. Precious never more so than when our loved ones or friends who have suffered or been in ill health just prior to their death. We sense the blessing and the rest that they have finally received in glory, and indeed it is splendid and glorious for them. The interesting thing about Psalm 116 is that David, throughout the psalm, praises the Lord for deliverance from situations that would have caused him to die. Right? Look at verses 1 through 9 once again. I'll read them real quickly for you. He says, I love the Lord, verse 1, because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. And then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. And what's his next response? Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast, notice verse 8, thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord. Where? In the land of the living. Right? So here David is praising the Lord. He had a moment where he was facing death. He besought the Lord for that, and God rescued him, delivered him from death. And so he is praising him for that deliverance. And David doesn't just stop at praising the Lord and thanking him for that deliverance. He then offers his multitude of thanks and offerings to the Lord for that deliverance. He commits himself to walk with the Lord, to call upon the name of the Lord, to be the servant of the Lord, and to, quote-unquote, pay his vows unto the Lord before his people. Verses 10 through 19, we can see how David expands upon his praise to give thanks and to commit himself to be the servant of the Lord. Verse 10, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Here's what he'll do. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. David's response to God for his grace and his benefits, verse 12, talks about the benefits of the Lord. His response to all of that is right. It's the right thing to do, to praise the Lord and then put that into action by offering a sacrifice of thanksgiving, completing his vows, committing himself to be the servant of the Lord. All of those things are right. And right in the middle of all of that, we have verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And yet David's been praising the Lord for rescue from death. What import does verse 15 have here, and what does it say to us? Note a couple of things. Number one, the death of a saint is precious to the Lord. The death of a saint is precious to the Lord. In fact, the Lord will protect his servant from death until it is time in the Lord's will and plan for that saint to go home, to be with him, to enter into the experience of death. Let me repeat that. The Lord will protect his servant from death until it is time in the Lord's will and plan for that saint to go home. That's how precious the death of a saint is to the Lord. We live in a world today, and it's, I believe, a global worldview, that treats death as something cheap, something to give no thought to or any thought about. Society has become so desensitized to death by violent movies, war, and even video games, first-person shooter video games where you're just shooting everybody that you can or running over them with your car. Just death has no value. Where killing and murdering others is just a game. And our whole society has become desensitized to death. In Canada, our government has legalized doctor-assisted suicide. It's called MAID, medical assistance in dying. That became legal in February 2015 in Canada, one of very few countries in this world that have legalized murder, suicide. This, quote-unquote, service was only available originally to the terminally ill who had no hope of recovery. But in 2019, a Quebec judge found the rule unconstitutional and pushed lawmakers to amend the existing laws to include adults who didn't have a, quote, reasonably foreseeable death. Understand what that means? They didn't have a reasonably foreseeable death. That is, if someone just wanted to end their life, they could, under MAID. Found this quote, Canada will soon offer doctor-assisted death to the mentally ill. Who should be eligible? In March 2023, just a couple months from now, Canada will become one of the few nations in the world allowing medical aid in dying, or MAID, for people whose sole underlying condition is depression, bipolar disorder, personality disorders, schizophrenia, PTSD, or any other mental affliction. That's scary, because there's nothing that apparently is in the law to protect those who can't make those decisions for themselves. Others can make it for them, and they will have to suffer that consequence. In 2016, the year after it became legal, statistics showed that 1,018 people committed suicide under MAID. In 2021, that number increased to 10,064 people. May I say, this is madness. This is evil. This can only be what the devil takes great delight in putting those things into the minds of human beings. And it seems like only liberal, progressive, demented government officials support such an evil law. There is a group called Council of Canadians with Disabilities. When news came out that the law was going to be changed that would allow MAID to be used for people with mental disabilities, they wrote this: advocates for people with disabilities, including the Council of Canadians with Disabilities, have said the court decision, that is to include people with disabilities under MAID, send the message that, quote, having a disability is a fate worse than death. Having disabilities is a fate worse than death, because if, you know, you can't handle life or whatever, just take the route of MAID and have a doctor help you to end your life. I read a news article at prayer meeting last Wednesday about a female doctor in British Columbia who was quite proud of the fact that she alone has killed more than 400 people through her clinic via euthanasia. Her name is Dr. Ellen Weeb. I will tell you what her name is. Dr. Ellen Weeb is proudly contributing a significant percentage of the overall kill count in Canada and has boasted, quote, it is the most rewarding work we've ever done. Can you imagine that kind of a statement coming from a doctor who is supposed to help people in their living to get through diseases and troubles and stuff? This doctor is just as happy to put them to death as anything. It also should be noted in the article that I read that Dr. Weeb is an abortionist as well. So she gets them at the beginning and at the end and is quite proud and happy to do so. This is evil. This is wickedness. Who would have ever thought that doctors who were the ones to help assist in living are now doctors of death in Canada? This is last day stuff, folks. And we see that we're in the last days, the end times, through stuff like this, in Canada, even. And our Prime Minister is probably the one accountable for all of this because he has endorsed all of these measures and helped put MAID into law. We must pray that God will put a stop to this. In his will, in his plans for this world, we must pray that God will put a stop to this. By whatever means God sees fit, I said at prayer meeting, I have a few ideas, but we can't move forward on them. But God can do this. He can put a stop to it, an end to it. Maybe even change that doctor's heart and life and mind through the witness of the gospel and that she would see her error. More troubling than all of this, assisted dying, I'm pretty sure that these doctors have no sense of, quote, life after death, whereby they would give counsel to patients to be ready to die and enter into the next life. How many of those patients under MAID were believers in Christ? I would like to think none, because believers in Christ trusts the Lord Jesus to care for him or her until the Lord deems it time to go home to heaven. But I don't think there's much spiritual counsel given to folks. There was one incident recorded in the article that I read where this Dr. Weeb had snuck into a nursing home, an elderly senior's home, because somebody in there, an elderly gentleman, wanted to die. She snuck in, and it was a Jewish senior's home, and euthanasia, suicide, anything like that was not allowed in the place. But she snuck in, gave the guy the needle, and he died. And the physician's court or whatever they have, medical court in BC, said that she had done nothing wrong, even though she did not do what the senior's home had put into their requirements. They supported her fully in the thing that she did. A believer in Christ, as we said, trust the Lord Jesus to care for him or her until the Lord determines it's time to go home to be with him. Just like David in Psalm 116. Now, we're living in the last days which Paul writes this in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul says, "This we know, that in the last days perilous time shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection," which I would submit to you is what doctors should have, a natural affection for helping people who are sick. "But in the last days, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away," Paul says to Timothy. Jesus, in speaking about the tribulation period in Matthew 24, says this in verse 12, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Has to be the case when doctors are now quite willing to end people's lives through an injection, because they can't handle life or they can't deal with pain or whatever. And so we see this mindset all around us today. And God help us to stand firm in these evil days for truth and righteousness, godliness and holiness, till Jesus comes again, which we believe has to be very soon. Let us trust the Lord to take us home when he wills it, and not by the will of any other. The second thing to note in Psalm 116, verse 15, is that God is a God of life. God is a God of life. In fact, in other words, the death of a saint is so precious to the Lord that he will not allow anything, man or circumstance, to take that saint's life prematurely. He will protect him until the Lord says, "Now's the time. Come on home." That is how precious the death of a saint is. God is a God of life. Remember in Genesis 1, verse 27, on day 6 of creation, we're told that God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And then in chapter 2, verse 7, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul." That's what God's interested in, his life, the living soul. Even after Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which he told them not to, but they did by deception from the devil himself, we're told that God thrust them out of the garden and he barred the way to the tree of life, lest man would access the tree of life in his sinful state. So Genesis 3:22 says, "The Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever," he barred the way and cast him out of the garden. So the thought is that if Adam had eaten from the tree of life in his sinful state, there would have been no opportunity for him to be saved from his sins and have eternal life. He would have been forever in that state of sinfulness. And God removed him from the tree of life, so he couldn't get to that in his sinful state. And God was already preparing for sinful man's restoration to, quote-unquote, life through Genesis 3:15 and the seed of the woman who would come in God's time to be the Savior of the world. This is the virgin son, the God-man, Jesus Christ, who would come and die on the cross for the sins of the world and provide salvation for any and all who would believe in him and give to them, what? Eternal life. God is a God of life. Interesting verse in Ezekiel 33, verse 11. It says, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." What does Psalm 116:15 say? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. But through Ezekiel, God says, "I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel?" He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Rather, it moves people to turn from their wicked way and live. In the New Testament, we have 2 Peter 3, verse 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Right? It's a God of life and living. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not, what? Perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus, when he came to this earth, said, "I have come to give life, and not just life, but life more abundant." He's interested in life and living. Did you ever notice that in the genealogy of Adam, through the godly line of Seth in Genesis 5, that at the end of every person's life in that genealogy, all the way down to Noah, the scripture records that this person lived so many years, they had sons and daughters, and then he died. He died. Every single one of them in Genesis 5, 1 to 32, you can read it for yourself this afternoon, that every one of them lived for so many years, had sons and daughters, and then they died. But in the record of the ungodly line of Cain, very interesting, there is not one mention of anyone's death. Not one mention. Genesis 4, 16 to 24. No mention of any of those individuals' death. Why? Because precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And God makes mention of their death in the godly line of Seth, because they were precious to him. God is a God of life. He gives life. He is the only one who can properly take life from us. And for the believer, at that moment, we enter into the very presence of God himself. For those who are lost in their sins, who die in their sins, they indeed will perish for eternity, not being in the presence of God to enjoy that time. So let us trust him in this life that we have. Let's trust the Lord, trust Christ, and then trust him to lead us into the next phase of our life, which comes after physical death. And we want to give all the praise, honor, and glory, as David did in Psalm 116, that God would protect him from premature death or death by the hands of anyone else or any circumstance until the Lord says it's time to come home, because precious in the eyes, in the sight of the Lord, is the death of his saints. Karen's death was so precious to the Lord that he kept her going. We realized that she had struggles with the cancer and all the treatments and everything. But in his time and in his plan and purpose, he took her home to be with himself December the 17th. And I trust that you all have that same confidence in the Lord yourself, to know that your death as a saint is precious. And I don't think he'll let anything happen to you until it is his plan and determination, his will, that you should come home to be with him. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word and the encouragement that it gives to us in difficult times in all of our life experience. We've all lost loved ones and perhaps facing some difficult days our own selves in the next little while. But we thank you that we can trust you. We thank you for this revelation from Psalm 116 in the life of David, that you kept him from anything taking his life until such time as you determined it was time for him to go. And we thank you for that truth of the preciousness of the death of a saint in the sight of thyself. And we take great encouragement from that even this morning. We thank you for the opportunity we've had to reflect a little bit about this subject this morning, and trust and pray that you will exercise our hearts to trust you in that event in our own lives as well. Bless your word to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.